Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to the middle of the week. Holy cow, it's Wednesday. You know what that means? It's hump day. We got to hear from the camel. Play it, man.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Whoop, whoop. Yes, it is. It's hump day. We're going to get you all the way to go home time on a Friday afternoon at some point soon. But just so you know, that means you're halfway there. That's good stuff. And pushing buttons on the board, the JP is with us. Hey, buddy. How are you?
I'm great. How about you?
I'm good. Middle of the week.
We made it.
Middle of the week. And I know that my grandkids are coming this weekend. So whoop, whoop.
Yeah, middle of the week on the way to a four-day weekend.
Indeed. So. Indeed. And by the way, I see that people are already texting in. Glad y'all are there. We got a great show lined up for you. 4 o'clock today, beginning of hour number three, Grand Council. Every Wednesday, it's a, you know the deal, Grand Council with my friends Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. We'll have them on, ping each other with questions to see where the chips may fall. But that comes up today at the beginning of hour number three, so stand by for that. And then there's a triple dipper just filled up with stuff, so hit it, man.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. First out the gate, the woke wars. Yeah, y'all, we're trading blows. We are in the ring. We are mixing it up. We got a win, we got a loss, we got a few other things. We got things that are still coming, but we got a woke war going on right now. Pushing back against culture, pushing back against leftist culture. How about that? I got several stories from around the nation that clearly indicate that the battle for the cultural front of America's existence is still ongoing. I'll talk about that. Number one, triple dipper, woke wars. Number two, oh yeah, every time I get this show going, I find this story, that story. Sometimes, though, I realize the stories are more in our backyard than they are other places. That means it's time to start gathering up the stuff that happens right here in and around and amongst us, and we do a batch of home fries. So number two on the triple dipper, home fries. Y'all stay tuned for that one. And then number three, the Freedom Caucus. Yeah, the Freedom Caucus, long known as perhaps the most conservative members of Congress, the Freedom Caucus. They are fiscally conservative. They are hawks on things related to defense. They're strong in terms of votes on procedure. And I'll be honest with you, they've been a joy to watch. And sometimes they've been all that stood between us and just like, you know, total capitulation. But the Freedom Caucus is shrinking right now. I'll tell you why. Number three on the triple dipper, the Freedom Caucus. All right, let me jump on into today's opening monologue, the Right Side Way monologue. I'll remind you guys, as always, that attorney Stan McDonald is indeed the partner at Wilmer & Lee who sponsors the daily Right Side Way monologue. He's a 30-year veteran in the practice of law, and I'll tell you more about Stan here momentarily. All right, so anyone who spent any time at all around the military has probably heard about the Good Idea Ferry. I've talked about it before on the show. The Good Idea Ferry. Well, that's a milspeak jargon. It's one of those euphemisms that somehow gets passed around in the green suit community. The Good Idea Fairy, that little pixie that floats through the room, finds a thing that actually works just fine, and then sprinkles good idea dust on it just to make things change. For no good reason, just to make them change. Everybody hates the Good Idea Fairy. And yet somehow, it just keeps on sprinkling that fairy dust. And a great civilian example of the Good Idea Fairy is like the recent attempt by Cracker Barrel to take what was absolutely not broken, crush the very soul of it, and then leave a husk of a corporate identity for all the world to question. But the Good Idea Fairy kind of got over on that one. We may be seeing some changes coming out of Cracker Barrel now. But unlike the Good Idea victims at Bud Light, yes, the folks at Cracker Barrel appear to be snapping out of the Good Idea Fairy spell. Maybe just in time, but we'll see. So yeah, the Good Idea Fairy. A loathsome little mystical creature that brings tragedy and heartache everywhere it goes. But as much as the Good Idea Fairy is loathed in the military, and the civilian world for that matter, the little heathenous elf is apparently lovingly embraced by liberals. Because they can't stop themselves from using the Good Idea Fairy's magic to try and gerrymander the English language with new wokeness. Like, every single day. They change words. They do. The left is just apparently enamored of the idea of changing words to suit their notions, even making up new words. Case in point, the word woke itself. When did woke become anything more than the past tense of having been awakened? You are so woke, as in he woke up at 6 a.m. Woke speak has become its own language in many ways, but unlike other languages, woke speak is merely a co-opting of existing language, a changing of the usage or the grammar or the definitions. The good idea fairy comes through and padoom, you have new words. To learn to speak woke, you have to unlearn what you currently know to be correct pronunciation or grammatical context or syntax or general usage. Like, for instance, one of the best examples out there right now is MAGA. MAGA. I'm not sure when MAGA became a word. It's actually an acronym. It's a campaign slogan. It stands for Make America Great Again. The other day, while appearing on CNN, the host, Abby Phillip, looked at me on stage and said, Phil, MAGA voters, blah, 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 at which point I started by asking a brief rhetorical question. I said, oh, so it's MAGA voters? And it caught her off guard. But there she was, stealing an acronym, a slogan, a conservative bumper sticker brand that was designed to mean something very positive, and then trying to make her own version of it. And in her mind, I think it was an insult. Making her own version of a woke word. That's what they do. Good idea, fairies. They steal the English language and try hard to make their own version. So let me give you some cliff notes so you can decipher woke words. I mean, let's figure out the lexicon here, right? Okay, let's begin. Start with pronouns. No longer a mere single-syllable word that is used to identify someone or something and tied to their biological identity. No. You know, it's supposed to be like male equals he, him, female equals she, her, they is them to mean a group. No. They can now be bent to fit your identity of the day. They, them can be one person. She, her can be a biological male. And stay with me, her. And there's now even Z. Z, which allegedly means non-binary. We can go all day on that one. How about diversity? Diversity. Here's a good one. Diversity. It used to mean diverse or a different mix. It is now used in woke speak to refer to mostly racial and gender-based concerns that not enough non-white, non-straight dudes are in the certain hiring pool, or that social grouping, or whatever. Basically, diversity is now the secret password for too much whitey going on. But diversity is usually not a word that wokists use in a standalone capacity. Conservative scholar Victor Davis Hanson, he points out that diversity, equity, and inclusion, yeah, that infamous triad, he says that almost always comes in corporate, professional, and academic administrative titles, things like the dean, the director, or the provost of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Known more commonly by their familiar abbreviated sobriquets of diversity czars, such coveted billets, he says, are usually immune from budget cuts and economic belt-tightening. Often such newly created czar positions are subsidized in times of protest and financial duress. Basically, here's me talking again, it has actually taken presidential executive orders and state legislatures passing laws to begin unwinding the good idea fairy's use of the word diversity. And then there's equity. Equity! Here's one. Equity. It replaced equality, since equality, you know, became too familiar. The good idea fairy pointed out that equality actually means everyone has equal opportunity, but equity? Well, equity can mean that wokists get to decide who gets what. Sort of like the Green New Deal's tree equity for big cities. Or the equitable distribution of money in a welfare state. Sure. Or equity and social justice requiring cashless bail. Or equity in so-called food deserts requiring state-run grocery stores. By the way, did you notice that in order to define equity, I also had to use several other good idea fairy woke words to simply make the definition? I mean, that's some serious layering of the woke words right there. Then there's a favorite woke term that is often parlayed into great financial gain for protest groups. It's the joint use of two common words together, hate speech. Hate speech. There's your one. Whatever wokists don't like usually devolves into something covered by a hate speech moniker. I mean, surely there's no First Amendment for saying what you believe is true, even if it doesn't match the woke flavor of the day. Don't believe in gay marriage? Hate speech. Don't support abortion? Hate speech. Don't believe that frogs ought to have equal access to ponds where toads live? Hate speech. In woke world, you can burn an American flag, but God help you if you leave skid marks on a rainbow striped crosswalk. Hate speech. Yep. Flag burning is a First Amendment right in woke world, but rainbow roads are hatefully maligned. Wrapping this up here, another woke term you just have to know is intersectionality. Intersectionality. It's a multifaceted, multisyllable term that no one had ever experienced until recent times when every wokist began vying for their own version of woke. So you can pick up a lot of points on a Scrabble board with the skillful application of the word intersectionality. But what does it mean? What is intersectionality? Well, it's when all the woke starts running into each other. You got woke black, woke gay, woke trans, and woke environmentalists. If you have one guy who believes he's a girl who happens to be black and also hugs trees and saves whales, you have maxed out on intersectionality, and you get more points on your woke bingo card. Some woke causes actually lap over, apparently. Oh boy. Intersections of wokeness, that's intersectionality. Sort of like the highway interchange where all the yellow brick roads come together to lead towards the land of Oz. Are you non-binary? That's one section. Are you non-binary African-American? Well, intersectionality now. Are you non-binary African-American, sometimes gender fluid with a lisp? That's intersectionality goldmine. Look, another thought from Victor Davis Hanson was, he said that there's a word called marginalized too that we have to remember. Marginalized. Hanson says the marginalized are those dehumanized by the white majority culture on the basis of race, sex, and sexual orientation. On rare occasions, he said, the category marginalized can be difficult to articulate, given the intrusion of irrelevant class considerations that supposedly remedy that marginalization. He says income and wealth are transitory criteria. Sex and race are not. So like Jay-Z, Barack Obama, and LeBron James, they are permanently marginalized even though they might make a whole lot more money than a Pennsylvania coal miner. Just saying. Look, winding down the woke dictionary here, I have to say this. You have to know one more. Microaggression. Microaggression. You would think that means like a small but outrageous threat, but no. Aggression no longer requires intent with wokes. Nope, no intent at all. The simple fact that I'm a straight white conservative male with a conservative worldview can somehow be considered a microaggression just by my very existence. You're at fault through no fault of your own. Or perhaps you addressed that young man that you just met in a social setting by his biological pronoun, God forbid, instead of his chosen pronoun. That's a microaggression. Look, I could go on and on, expanding your woke lexicon into a keen and incisive means of debating with the woke culture. We could spend another half hour dissecting the veracity of revisionist vocabularies, things like safe space and theme housing and systemic racism, class, privilege, green energy, insurrection. You get the idea. But here's my thought. How about this? There's an actual English language. It is actually spoken, actually written, actually espoused correctly when you use the grammar books. Likewise, it can also be used incorrectly, meaning that there are actual standards, apparently, at least they're supposed to be. So before they start co-opting the linguistic capabilities in our modern society to mean something it was never intended to mean, how about this? Can we just debate it for a bit? Make them explain it. Make them explain their good idea fairy woke words. Make them explain where they get it from. It's good for a laugh when they try. Otherwise, we're just going to have the good idea fairies rewriting the dictionary faster than we can even look up the words. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, I don't know what triggered this one today. I saw something woke and I thought, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard just because you made up new words. All I'm saying is this. Wokists, man, the good idea fairy comes through, sprinkles a little dust, and next thing you know, they've got all kinds of new words. It doesn't work that way. You don't get to make up your own language. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. Oh, man, there's so much to talk about right now. I feel like some of the breaking news we got out there right now with this Minnesota shooting, if you've not heard about it, horrible situation going on in Minneapolis with a deranged transgender teenager. I think he was a teenager. Deranged transgender guy.
No, he was in his, I think he was 23.
Okay, well.
Transitioned when he was 17.
Okay. But nonetheless, a deranged tranny. Shot up a Catholic church service at a Catholic school and has killed two kids and injured 17 more, three adults, 14 kids, and then shot himself. Horrible story, horrible. The news stories are, and the news lines are covered up with it right now. We'll talk about it in a little bit of detail. There's some things to parse out in that. Then, you know, we've also got this strange story coming out of Scotland. Holy cow, what in the world? What is happening to Great Britain? Listen, I love Great Britain. That's where I accepted Christ. I lived there for 3 years. I cannot imagine what is happening The culture of Great Britain has survived for thousands of years, and yet now what we're watching is mass migration is destroying the very fabric of society, and the government is like taking a blind eye and maybe even supporting the perpetrators of crime. This little girl, 12 years old, is actually defending herself with a knife and an axe, which, why is a 12-year-old carrying a knife and an axe? Because she's been accosted before. And so these groups of foreign ruffians, adults, are kind of stalking her, and one of her friends is yelling, "Leave her alone, she's 12. And then next thing you know, she has to pull her knife out, and then they're mocking her for it. Anyway, the girl was arrested. The girl, the 12-year-old, for brandishing a sharp object. Stop it. Good on her for brandishing the sharp object. You know what? Good on her for having the wherewithal to say, I'm not going to be a victim. Because she could easily have been a victim. I'm so beyond this stuff, man. Just so beyond it. But what I'm not beyond is my friend Stan McDonald. So let me do that real quick. I got to do this. Attorney Stan McDonald, partner at the law firm of Wilmer and Lee. I bring him up to you. Why? Because he's not only a 30-year veteran in the practice of law, but Stan McDonald is also the daily sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue and a longtime conservative. Yes, indeed. So yeah, attorney Stan McDonald represents his clients literally in thousands of real estate transactions over the years. He can stand up for you in any local, state, or federal court. When Stan McDonald's on your side, I like to say you're going to have no greater friend. Likewise, your adversaries are going to have no greater foe. So, you want his phone number? I'm going to give it to you. Attorney Stan McDonald, the law firm is Wilmer and Lee. He's an America First family man. And yes, here's his phone number, 256-479-3020. That's Stan McDonald, 256-479-3020. And tell him you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I would appreciate that. And no hesitation made, the quality of legal services ever be bad. Because I advertise it. That must be good. There's that. All right. Plenty of stuff, man. Text lines, 833-687-4448. Call it. Text it. That's the number. 833-68-RIGHT. Let me get a couple of these real quick before we go to the break. John from Huntsville says, Phil, spectacular monologue. Thank you. He said, also, did you hear about the terrible shooting at the Catholic public school in Minneapolis? Yes, I did. He says, by the way, JP, it's still not too late to join the Yahoo Pick'em group because I really want to see if I'm better at college football pick'ems than the king of sports. John from Huntsville.
I guess I gotta create a Yahoo account.
There you go. You've just been called out. Alrighty, that's it. We're taking a break. We'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the Southeast, U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. This show. I mean, it goes like from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga, from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that lovely little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the line from there to what we call, once again, Fort Benning. Benning! Big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. And that's just the radio footprint. Radio. Just the radio. Then there's all y'all in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web, logging in, live streaming every single day on X, YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, our website, rightsidemedia.org. Thank you very much. And then all you podcasters will catch it after the fact. I say all that. You know the deal. I say it because we want you to know that wherever you catch this show means the world to us. Thank you very much. You're the reason why we do what we do. I'm going to the phones real quick because she held on during the break. Lee from Huntsville's on the line. Hello, Leaster. How are you?
I am good on this beautiful day. I have to say it's lovely.
It is indeed a lovely day. What's on your mind?
I mean, from just sent straight from heaven when it's in the middle of or end of August. That's all I know.
No doubt.
Dog day, so I'm thankful. I wanted to talk about that, the girl, the Scottish girl.
Yeah.
Because it's really angered me and just brought up just so many feelings. I have Scottish heritage, a lot of it, and yeah. I've done a lot of research, and Scottish people were some of the bravest warriors in history. I mean, you've got William Wallace, everybody knows, you know, the movie about him, and there's Robert the Bruce. We ought to call her Roberta the Bruce. This girl is channeling these warriors, these strong Scottish people, 10 times more than her lame, lily-livered government and police forces.
Yeah.
This girl she is so frightened because her own government and police force are kowtowing to immigrants who are not from there, who are hurting their children. And they're not acting like men, they're acting like cowards. I'm ashamed of them. I think they're disgusting. disgusting that a girl has to walk around like this and defend her 12-year-old sister.
Yeah.
This is just, it's immoral. It's ungodly. I don't know how else to put it. And the people, the leaders of Scotland need to hang their head in shame.
They do.
This.
They do.
And she could be a hero.
And I can't imagine, I mean, how in the world they wound up sending the police to her house. I hope at the very least they took a statement and went and found these miscreants that were out there taunting her and giving her reason to want to carry a knife. But I don't really hold out any faith right now that they will. I mean, the whole thing is embarrassingly bad. And it's on the level of like a harbinger of bad things to come for your entire culture if this is the way it's going to be.
Well, and it's not only, yes, your culture is disappearing.
Yeah.
You will not have, same with Britain. But I'm saying the Scottish people have always been proud.
Yep.
And for this to have to happen, this has got to be a bellwether. This has got to be a giant
I hope so.
Bellwether for these people. But I also will say this. It appears that to the government and the police, it's more important to virtue signal and than it is to protect their daughters from rape.
Well, just so you know, my part of my heritage is Scottish also. The McBrides are part of my family heritage. But anyway, sister, your point is well taken. I got another call I got to take, but thank you very much.
Thanks.
See
Bye.
Ya. Bye ya. I'm going straight to line two because we're like busy today. Sparky from Harvest is on the line. Spark, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm okay. I'm all right. And my family and you, my family immigrated to Sparkman's. Came over from Ireland and Scotland, and it's a tragedy what's happening with that little girl. We had one of our experimental test pilots left years ago to a billet in England to be an exchange officer. So we bought him a real nice Bowie knife and a case, you know, just a really cool, great gift. He's like, well, I'm going to have to store this away. I'm not allowed to have this over there.
Wow.
And I'm like, what are you saying? What are you saying? He said, knife control is, this was, shoot. 10 years ago,
these
knife control over there is insane. Hey, the Minneapolis school shooting. Look at the parallels between that and the Nashville.
Yes.
That insane. Evil,
yes.
Insane evil girl who shot up the Christian school in Nashville. Yeah. People have spent the last 4 or 5 years celebrating gender dysphoria, celebrating
yes.
mental illness, and we got to keep an eye on these people. They're not getting the treatment they need, and if their families let them have access to guns, this is ridiculous that it happened in Minneapolis, and my heart's breaking. My prayers goes out to those Catholic families up there.
Yeah, totally agree, man. And listen, you make the point. I pulled this off somebody else's post. They said the new shooter, the shooter today identified as trans. The Lakewood Church shooter identified as trans. The Colorado Springs shooter identified as non-binary. The Denver shooter identified as trans. The Aberdeen shooter identified as trans. The Iowa high school shooter identified as trans. It just goes right down the list. Somewhere along the line, we've got to recognize that this is a mental illness and that the amount of violent rhetoric in the left right now is even spurring that mental illness to new heights.
I agree 100%, and Big Pharma needs to back off doctors passing out happy pills instead of treating people's mental problems. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Thank you, Sparky. Good to hear from you, man.
Okay, bye.
See you. I love it when the phones light up and I mean, you know what, this is I think the most fun is when the audience takes hold of the show, you know, when the topics, we haven't even gotten to Dipper One yet. I'm fine with that. And I think Allie was going to call in too. So we may see Allie calling in momentarily. Let me get a few texts from the text line. Paul from Decatur says, hey, Colonel Paul in Decatur, comment on the recent shooting at the Catholic Church. I wish everyone would stop referring to these deranged trans as males or men. They are not. They are so sick in the head and need therapy. They are mentally ill. They are. And by the way, this was a guy, right? Wasn't it a guy who identified?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, I mean, he was a dude. So at the very, but he's not much
biologically.
Of a man. Yeah, he was biologically a dude, but he wasn't much of a man. How about that? Luann from Huntsville says and sends a link to a story that I'm not going to open yet, but she says this is getting to the breaking point in Europe. There were demonstrations in Holland to get politicians' attention. All they seem to say is thoughts and prayers. Sorry, Phil, that ain't good enough. This is so wrong. What's the story about?
The story is apparently a teen girl was murdered by asylum seekers while we're calling to the cops reporting that she was being followed, and this was in the Netherlands. So
wow. Wow, wow, and more wow. Cameron from Decatur says, to be fair, when you're talking about equality, you have to first determine what the percentages are for the races in a given population. Okay. Says, in the United States, for instance, 60% of the people are Caucasian. For what we know, 19% are Latino, roughly 15% are African-American. And then on from there, therefore, to be truly equitable, any group should be approximately 60% I see what you're saying. Okay. That's a grouping that fairly represents the population. No group has to be 50-50 in order to fairly represent the population. Okay. I get what you're saying. And then it's also going to depend on where you are. If you go to a city that's majority black, then you're going to wind up having groups that are probably based off more likely what the demographics are in that area. But I get your point, man. Thank you very much. Before I go to the break, I see she's on the line. Allie from Athens is on the line. Hey, my friend, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well. It was so fun to be encountering protesters and be on the other side of it.
Oh,
and
wow.
Here's what happened.
Okay.
Yeah. Today, the governor came and delivered a State of the State address at the Alabama Veterans Museum, of which you are quite fond.
Yes.
And on the way in, the No Kings folks showed up, always a rational group. And I was going to be doing some other work, so my arms were full. I had my backpack and stuff. My arms were full, and the first thing that was said to me was, you can't wave. Your arms are full. As if there's something wrong with me having full arms and indicating that I was going to work. And so I pleasantly said, well, I'm actually on my way to work. And somebody else chimed in and screamed at me and said, well, then do your job. But I got off easy. Sandy and Jerry, who are the directors of the Alabama Veterans Museum, had to remove a No Kings sign from the fence, and what got screamed at them was that they were Epstein supporters and child molesters.
God. So how many of these ne'er-do-well skulls full of mush were out there protesting today? How many did you have?
Oh, if I were going to do a quick head count, I would say probably about 10, maybe 15 tops.
Okay.
But then I've got one more very quick one. They were on the courthouse square a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, we just had an election in Athens, and it had been a particularly brutal and ugly election this time around. Thankfully, I feel like God heard our prayers, and Mayor Ronnie Marks was reelected, and I, for one, am very thankful. There were several people on the city council that were up for re-election, and I saw one of them who has served in the Air Force, and I will not say his name, but there was a woman in the Handmaid's Tale outfit with the white bonnet and the long red cape.
Wow.
And I said, yeah. And I said, you know what? Now, remember, I am the recovering feminist. I said, you know what you need to do? Just stride on up there, put your arm around the woman, take a selfie, and put a post on Facebook that says, my kind of woman. It'll absolutely cinch your election. And he rolled his eyes, as he has. But it's just like, I would like to say respectfully, Colonel, back in my protesting days, I may not be remembering accurately, but I don't think we were this nuts.
No.
I don't.
And that I think is the culminating point before I go to the break, is that you're right. Protesters these days have turned into complete nutsoids. I mean, there's
mm-hmm.
It doesn't even make any sense.
They come to the
Athens Veterans Museum and protest the governor of Alabama, and then call people Epstein supporters if they take down the signs that weren't supposed to be up in the first place. I got to go,
exactly.
Sister. I got a break pending on me, but wow.
Okay.
All right. Watch out for the protesters. The No Kings are out in Athens. Allie from Athens, thank you very much. We're taking a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Man, just making common sense like a superpower. That's right. Bulletproof influence, my friends. So let's talk about this situation up in Minneapolis right now. It's a horrible thing. But it appears that on one of the first days of school at a Catholic school at the Church of the Annunciation in downtown Minneapolis, a guy who we now know is a a transgender activist who left a manifesto that we'll talk about in a minute, went to the chapel where all the kids were gathered for morning mass. And while they were in the middle of prayers, began shooting the place up. Two kids are dead. I believe their ages were 8 and 10. And there are 14 injured personnel, three are adults, 14 kids, 17 total, I mean. And then the shooter took his own life. I says his. I'm sure there are others out there that want to identify him as a her, but it's not. It's a dude with a mental illness who left a massive video manifesto, is what I understand. And JP, you're the one telling me about that. What do we know about the manifesto?
Well, first, MSNBC is also calling him they the incident, so there's that. But yeah, so apparently he had scheduled a YouTube video to go up right at it was posted like a couple minutes after the shooting, with him going through a notebook of a like 4 or 5 page manifesto that he wrote. I didn't read all of it.
Well, let me interrupt real quick. What that also means is this is way planned out.
Oh yeah.
He had a manifesto that was well written, but written out. I think you're going to tell me in a minute too. He had a schematic of the church.
Mm-hmm.
He videoed in advance. Mm-hmm. He had his weapons all marked up and everything. And then he drove to the church and he had this He said he had it preset to post on YouTube.
Yeah, he had the video of all of that scheduled to post right after the incident. So yeah, and yeah, he had a diagram of what the inside of the church looked like, and then proceeded to stab the picture with a knife. So it was a pretty disturbing video. YouTube has taken it down. However, it is like still up on Twitter and such. But yes, this was a meditated event. By the way, his guns, which he had several of them, Minnesota being a red flag state, I feel like this guy is a walking red flag. But anyways, the markers, he wrote on one of his guns something about kill Trump, something on another anti-Israel. There's one that said, where is your God now? So that's who this guy was.
So this is an anti-Christian, anti-Trump, anti-children manifesto.
Yes, pretty much.
And did you tell me that his mom works at that church?
His mom works at that school, yes, in church. And also, apparently, there's a document that somebody found, I don't know how, that his mom had signed off when he was 17 to have his name changed to Robin. So she was fully behind his transgender stuff. So pretty disgusting story.
It's sad. And right now there are devastated families. There are kids. There's one kid. I saw a brief piece of his interview in the press. I mean, they're all standing around with microphones in the face of a 10-year-old who just came out of a shooting. So I'm not sure where the parents were at that particular moment. But the kid was talking about how when the shooting started, one of his friends jumped on top of him and got shot, but saved him from getting shot.
Yes.
Unbelievable. Now, I don't know if one of us already said it or not, but I guarantee you, there's already going to be discussion. Tim Walz is speaking right now. He'll probably say something about gun control because he always does. And I think I need to point out, you did. You said red flag laws. So Minneapolis and the state of Minnesota in general have some of the most draconian gun laws already in the nation. They do. They require expanded background checks. They have extreme risk protection orders, which is red flag laws. That's where somebody sees a problem and they turn you in and then you lose your guns and you can't buy one. And apparently that doesn't work. And then restrictions for domestic abusers. They have individuals purchasing handguns and other. Anyway, the bottom line is, or they even issue permits at the city level, not just like county and state, city level. And all of those are kept on file with the local police department. So you got all of these different measures in place that makes their particular gun control laws some of the most controlling of all, and it made no difference whatsoever.
Nope, the bad guys still got the guns. And however, I'm sure there was a lot of people who really weren't that much of a threat that probably were denied gun access because they were deemed red flags. But yet a transgender, oh, go on in, get all you want. But I mean, I think Sparky mentioned it earlier about the trend of transgender shootings at schools. So maybe it's time to talk about, it's not a young white male problem, like Trey Gowdy said. It's a transgender problem. I think it's very clear.
No, wait, let's clarify. Trey Gowdy didn't say it's a young white male problem.
No, he did.
He said, Trey Gowdy said it's a young white male problem?
He did. Yeah.
Trey Gowdy.
He's getting slaughtered on X right now over it. He said, before they knew who it was, he said, I bet you it was a young white male that did this, and we got to do something and advocate for like gun control.
Trey Gowdy.
He did.
Republican Trey Gowdy. Former prosecutor.
Allegedly, yeah.
Oh man, I want to check that out. All right, listen, it's a heinous mess. It's not part of our dippers. It's just the kind of story that you just don't ignore when it's on the air. And both screens right now in the studio are filled up with it. There's a press conference going on right now. The shooter did post his manifesto. It has been taken down, like JP said, but officials are scrubbing it right now. I'm sure they're searching the house. I don't know if these were his parents' guns or his own guns, but he had certainly decorated them. Like he wrote all over them. If you see pictures on Twitter, you'll see that he wrote all his messages all over his firearms and the magazines and everything else. So if they were his parents' guns, he certainly had long-term access to them and made them look like his own. The whole thing is an absolute awful situation, a mess, a grossness. I mean, kids are sitting in church praying, and then shots start ringing out. And I don't know how many shots did he fire. Do we have any idea how many shots he fired?
I think one parent that was a witness or a teacher or something said it was between 50 to 100 shots.
Good Lord. So he was changing magazines. He went apparently loaded with an AR, a pistol of some type, and a shotgun. So, yeah. Okay. Chris from Athens says, I know Tim Walz is going to come out and condemn the shooting. The fact that the Democrats are cool with killing children in doctor's offices, like abortion, but don't like it when they kill them with guns is total BS. He said, these people are all completely disgusting. I can go with that. Dave from Capshaw, Alabama sends me something. Let me see what we've got. Oh, yeah, there it is. Dems can demand gun control minutes after the news breaks of a deadly school shooting. Well, I got news. They've already got the gun control. It didn't control a thing, except the good guys. We're taking a break. We'll come right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a hump day. Hour number two. And we haven't even gotten to Dipper number one because of the weight of some of the breaking news. I will tell you, the text lines have lit up today. You guys are amazing. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it or call it. Dave from Capshaw again says that trans shooter who was mocking, apparently he was mocking God in some of his posts or his manifesto, that trans shooter who was mocking God by asking, where's your God now, just found out. Yep, I would say that's the way that works. Jeff from Indiana says, Phil, somebody needs to make some stickers up of a fish in a barrel and stick them on every gun-free zone you can find, because that's what you're going to be if you're in that zone. Yeah, fair enough. Jerry from Decatur says, sounds like the shooter in Minnesota had sex ID remorse. Sick. I hadn't heard that part, but okay. Scott from Somerville says, this is the final straw. No guns for Democrats ever. There's that. Mark from Tony says, guns are not the problem and crazy people are the problem. Yes, indeed, I would say that. Joe in Tennessee says, old tampon Timmy owns the shooting at the church. Protecting the insane, he, she, it, trans, the legacy of our socialist state of Minnesota. The mother of it retired 2 years ago from that church diocese. I hadn't heard the retirement part, but yeah, I knew she was an employee there or had been or something. Thomas from Athens says, I believe Governor Walz last year signed the law to make Minnesota all trans safe haven. Yeah. To be the number one state to welcome LGBTQ persons, the AG has published the transgender rights fact sheet. Therefore, Minnesota is a safe haven for trans, but not from trans, apparently. Wow. Great final line there in that text. Luann from Huntsville says, there's something wrong with the whole concept of transgenderism. It's not just potential mental illness or self-loathing, but also forfeiting of sterility. What are the impacts of the mental psychological pain to families? Murder-suicide is the worst thing that could happen. Yeah. Paul from Decatur says, they should be called ITS. Okay. Ron from Tuscumbia says, we need more mental institutions and less gun laws. Amen to that. And then John C. from Madison says, it does seem like that people all over the world are getting tired of the so-called asylum seekers. If the asylum seekers keep on doing what they're doing, there's going to be a major uprising against them. Unfortunately, that will cause a lot of bloodshed that will happen. Yeah, he's talking about the situation in Scotland on that one. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know that we wouldn't see something here in the United States the way things go in certain cities, like in Colorado, where they are... or Chicago, for that matter, where they are in complete budget deficit because they've been spending so much on illegals. It's amazing to me there hasn't been some measure of vigilantism, and I'm glad there hasn't, but it's amazing to me that there hasn't. So there's that. But what you got, bud?
Well, I was going to say, I mean, it's kind of a connecting thread here of if you look at, like, what happened in Scotland where the 14-year-old girl was punished for having knives to protect herself and her friends
yeah.
from illegal aliens. That's it's kind of where that's where gun laws take you, to a place like that where you are now being punished for trying to protect yourself. So it's so horrifically sad and tragic, you know, when shootings like this happen today. But we just cannot let the narrative go to gun laws from that.
Yeah.
It has to be the deeper root of the problem, which is transgenderism is one. SSRIs is another. I mean, we've seen a trend of that, too. It's not the guns, because guns will get you to where the UK is right now. It makes it even worse. It has good people who are now punished for protecting themselves.
Well, and you saw what happened in Australia just most recently?
Yeah.
In Australia, they had a complete gun ban. They collected, they actually confiscated guns. And then just most recently, I think it's at least one province, Victoria, I think, anyway, but they put in place a machete ban, and they put drop boxes where you can drop off your machetes, because we're going to get these criminal elements under control and take the instruments of destruction off the streets. I'm like, it's a knife. It's a knife.
And I'm sure everybody's going to comply and just give up machetes.
Like, you know what's going to happen? There's going to be some dropped in the box, and that's where the bad guys are going to go to get more machetes.
Yeah, like criminals are, they tend to follow the law. You know, that's how
works. That's how it works. Nofrey from Lexington says, Brother Phil, talked to a young little woke dude today. After a pretty good conversation with him, he asked me for life advice to help him. Know Jesus and learn what skilled labor is, young man. Nofrey, good on you, man. Thanks for spending time with him. Chris from Sterrett, Alabama says, I didn't see that. Chris from Sterrett, Alabama says, great monologue, Phil. Woke, like gay, it used to mean something completely different, but a group of people took a word and then purposely changed the meaning and then created a movement with it. Words have meaning. Stop messing with real words. I'll get a couple more, then I'll go to the phones. Bruce from Springville, Alabama says, good idea, fairies. Leave bad idea poop. He said, I remember when Neil Borch referred to them as booger-eating liberals. Bunch of paste eaters. Adam from Athens says, Phil, you have to give it to Dale that he wasn't man enough to personally challenge you to the physical fitness test. Now that you said that, he's coming on my show today. He probably will. And then Chef Ben from Aniana says, Chef Ben and Marissa tuned in. Keep it coming. Happy hump day. Chef Ben, blessings on you, my friend. Chef Ben has had a setback here lately with a fire in the kitchen. But, man, we are pulling for you, brother. Hope you're back on the cooking side of things real quick. Let me go to the phones real quick. Is that Wolverine Dan? Wolverine Dan. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Well, I'm really – I'm a little tore up. Children.
Yeah.
You got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
How – you can tell I'm emotional because it's a child. And if I was a parent of that child, my life would be – well, it can't be over because I have to make a wrong a right. Yes, and that's something I would do and pray a lot, and I've always been walking step by step with God. But I'm telling you, my friend, law and order, in our president's bringing it back. It's not because he wants to be a dictator, but without law and order, okay, and without taking care of the bad guys and locking them up and not let – And that will deter from this happening, okay? And the gender thing and the changing your gender and everything, well, I guess that's a personal choice. But, you know, if the parents didn't see something coming, you know, I knew everything about my kids, and I shut them down before they even started, even said, I want to go where? And before they said, I want to go, I said, no, you're not going to go. So the bottom line is this, Bill. I'm tore up. It's emotional for me. And it's a sad day in this country, and our president is bringing back law and order to stop senseless killings.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And you are so right. And it means something. It literally means something that we have the president saying safe streets actually are important, and we're going to enforce the laws. And the idea that Democrats are shouting him down for it is like they're cheering on the criminals. But
exactly,
Wolverine
that,
Dan,
that doesn't make any sense at all to me.
Appreciate you, buddy. See you, man. He's not wrong at all. Not at all. Let me grab the last of these texts, and then we'll go to the break. Lewis from Trinity says, there are countries in Europe where the migration immigrants are 40 to 70% of the population. Oh, boy. Luann from Huntsville sends me an article. I'm not going to open it right yet, but she says it's the carnage from the transgender happening right here in North Alabama. Okay, it's something regarding a murder-suicide in Franklin County, Tennessee, or Franklin County, Alabama. Where is that? I'll let you look at it.
Red Bay?
Oh, it's in Red Bay?
Yeah.
No kidding. Wow. Okay. Paul from Huntsville says you need a machete in Australia to protect yourself from the wildlife. No doubt. Everything on that continent wants to, like, kill you. And then Dana from Athens says, as stated many times, if guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns. And that is exactly right. All right. And on that mode, we will take a break. We'll take the break right now. Come right back. And I think I'll go ahead and dive on into Dipper number one. Keep it moving. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, oh man, just like making the world safer with every single soundbite. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. I was looking at a tweet about the shooting right as I was trying to get my mantra out. But it's amazing what's happening right now. And I feel certain people are going to capitalize on it. We were just a minute ago, JP and I were just like grimacing because up on the screen it said that the Minneapolis police chief, announced that they are still looking for a motive. We know the motive. We know the motive. He left behind his motive. His motive was he hated Christians. He hated these kids. He probably loathed himself, to be honest, and he hated Trump. And so he went and shot up a Catholic church.
Yeah, I mean, he wrote, "Where's Your God?" on one of the ammo magazines and then shot up a Catholic school. I wonder what the motive is.
Yeah, I cannot possibly fathom what his motive was. His motive was hate. His motive was he hated everything that was considered not him. And he wanted the whole world to identify with his transgenderism, and so he went to the place that is least likely to do it, a church filled with innocent children. And also, by the way, he hated Trump. Go figure. I'm going to change gears for a little while. I am. The first Dipper is called The Woke Wars. You know, earlier, if you heard my monologue, I talked about the fact that the woke good idea fairy will often help sprinkle good idea fairy dust and create all new words where these words didn't exist before. But there's other things happening in the woke wars, as I'm calling it, the WARS, the woke wars. I mean, the fight right now to restore our culture is pretty epic. And it's a daily. I mean, it's no fooling. So, on a lighthearted note, the Cracker Barrel situation. Yeah. I don't know if you saw it or not. Story here on Fox Business Dateline last night. Cracker Barrel scraps the new logo design and keeps the old timer after listening to customers. JP, can you grab that little video that I posted, that meme video of Trump? And can you grab that off my, at the very least, off mine? Yeah, so probably one of the funniest things I've seen on the air. Like, I don't know, who did this? Who made this video? But JP is going to grab it, snag it here in a minute, and post it up on the screen for those of y'all that live stream the show. And it's it's a AI-generated image of the man on the Cracker Barrel logo jumping to his feet and then doing the Trump dance with Trump. And it's hilarious. But that's where we are right now. I mean, Cracker Barrel said Tuesday on Fox Business that after listening to its customers, it will scrap its new logo and keep the old timer in place. Now, we don't know for a fact what happens with the rest of their plans. Are they going to quit doing the interior redesigns? Are they going to quit getting rid of the memorabilia? Are they going to focus again on, like, bringing back the right sizing of their portions and, you know, and having quality food? And not quality new food, but the quality comfort food they've been known for over the years. But yeah, Cracker Barrel says, as a proud American institution, our 70,000 hardworking employees look forward to welcome you to our table soon. Well, good. And they also thanked President Trump for weighing in on the issue of their iconic original logo. JP has it up on the screen right now for the live streamers. You're cracking up at looking at it, aren't you?
It's pretty great.
It's just pretty great. Who did this? I mean, that's hilarious.
This is the good aspects of AI.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You hear about all the stuff about AI taking jobs and everything, but then you see that and you're like, okay, maybe all right.
Yeah. This is hilarious. So, yeah, if you're watching the live stream, there's Trump and Uncle Herschel on the front porch of Cracker Barrel leaping to his feet and doing the Trump dance. It's hilarious. So, congratulations, Cracker Barrel, on changing your logo back. All of your fans very much appreciate it. One supporter wrote. Actually, Trump weighed in and said something like that, too. He wrote, "Good luck in the future. Make lots of money. Most importantly, make your customers happy again." So, we'll see what remains of the other plans they had. But it's like Trump said, change it. Change it real quick. Do it. You'll get $1 billion worth of free. I mean, that right there, that little video I just did is going viral right now. And that in itself is an ad, and they didn't have to pay a dime for it. It's just called fixing it.
except they now $700 million in the hole. And then how much did they spend to go back to the original?
I don't know if they spent the whole $700 million they had slated for doing the whole redesigns, but good Lord, that would have been, like, they're talking about at that point a billion. Their market share dropped $124 million. So, anyway, other battles going on in woke world. So, me personally, loving this. Wokespy.com. Wokespy.com has a piece, says that Dateline yesterday, dozens of Planned Parenthood clinics have already closed or are slated to close this year as the Trump administration advances its efforts to block abortion providers from receiving taxpayer dollars through Medicaid. This is huge. Right now, like upwards of 41 Planned Parenthood clinics have closed or are closing across the nation. That's a lot of babies being saved, to be honest with you. Yeah, by Planned Parenthood's own account, this will stop the forced taxpayer funding of abortion businesses and could cause up to 200 facilities to close. I'm good with that. I hate it for the people who worked, like, you know, just on the side, not the ones who performed the actual procedures. But nonetheless, saving all those babies, worth every bit. Worth every bit. So in the woke wars, you guys, we're winning some stuff. We're winning lots of stuff. But I'll tell you one that just, like, I don't know if she realizes how creepy this is. I don't think she is. It's one of those things where most of the time the left is not very self-aware. They're just not. They totally miss it. They can't clue in. They don't recognize when they've worn out their welcome. They always overreach. Story here on Daily Wire, though. It's kind of like next level. So in a TikTok video on Monday, this is Dateline today, by the way. In a TikTok video on Monday, a Michigan Democrat legislator offered to help children get access to a gender-affirming care if they will just contact her office. Let me make sure I'm clear. You're telling me that a sitting member of the Michigan State House is encouraging children to call her office so she can bypass the parents, talk to them directly, and get them medical attention for what she believes is the right thing to do, which is, you know, treat their gender dysphoria with medication and surgeries. In the video, Reingans is the Democrat's name. State Representative Kerry Reingans told children they can still get care at other places in Michigan. Said, I want you to know, as a trans kid here in Michigan, this care is obviously safe and effective. That's why it's been approved. So reach out to our office. We'll be able to connect you with what might still be available in your community. She's talking to kids. Who does anyone see this? What a creep. She is literally, as a Democrat, getting on the air, doing a video, encouraging children to call her so she can get them medical attention that the parents might not even want nor believe in. Does she have a clue? Does she have any level of self-awareness whatsoever?
I wonder if she has kids of her own, because it's normally people like that that say stuff like that don't actually have kids of their own and don't.
That'd be fascinating to know. Look it up and see. It's spelled, her last name is spelled Reingans, R-H-E-I-N-G-A-N-S, Kerry Reingans. And just see if you can find out anything about her from Wikipedia even or something like that. You find it? Oh, okay. Kerry Reingans.
No, I'm still looking.
Michigan State Rep. Brad Peckett, who is leading an effort in the Great Lakes State to protect children from gender procedures, told the Daily Wire he has a pretty good relationship with Reingans and has discussed this issue with her pretty extensively. In other words, what he's saying is, yeah, I'm trying to talk to her about it. I got more. In a minute, I'll tell you about a case we just lost in court. Woke Wars. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. This one, this show, it goes like from, man, from Huntsville back on over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the line from there to what we call, once again, Fort Benning. Benning! And then big old patches of North Georgia, Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. And that's just the radio, just the radio. That's just all y'all in radio land. Then there's all y'all in the whole wide world, though, going to the World Wide Web, though, looking up our live stream every single day, looking inside the studio at places like X, YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, our website, rightsidemedia.org. And then all you podcasters who catch it after the fact, thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate you more than you could possibly know. Got a story here. So I'm in the woke wars. Dipper number one, the woke wars. And we are trading blows, man. I mean, I'm going back and forth. It's just full on onslaught. And then one day it's over here in court. Next day it's over here in the public square. And then over here it's, you know, this politician does that. And then the banks do this. And how about this one? We didn't win this one. This was maddening. So out at University of Wyoming, a group of sorority girls in Kappa Kappa Gamma, you may remember this, Kappa Kappa Gamma, they filed suit because they did not want that dude who claims he's a chick living in their sorority house. And by the way, once he got in the sorority house, he kind of made it real clear he was there for the moment to look at the ladies. That's all he's there for. He's a complete creeper. Living in the girls' house. And the bylaws, the national organization was giving these girls no help whatsoever. So here they are paying dues, paying rent, living in there, and this guy is like just apparently having a good time being in there with them, if you know what I mean. That being said, they filed suit and the court just dismissed their case. Dismissed it. Pray tell why. Pray tell why would he dismiss the case? U.S. District Judge Alan B. Johnson dismissed former University of Wyoming students' lawsuits against their sorority for allowing a biological male to join their group. The judge basically sounds like a complete lib tool. But the judge said this. He dismissed the former student's citation of the definition of women as cited by President Donald Trump's executive order in January as being adult human females, adding that the judge said he didn't even know what that meant. What? And then he said, we're not entirely sure what this definition means, not having a degree in biology. But even assuming this definition aligned with, if you are on the bench, if you're a jurist and you have to have a degree in biology to do anything, then guess what? You cannot even preside over cases where there's a murder. How would you know if that person who was drowned actually asphyxiated under the water? How would you know anything about a medical malpractice case? Come on, judge. Don't be just a complete tool. Anyway, says we're not entirely sure what the definition means, not having a degree in biology, but even assuming this definition aligned with the plaintiffs, it only applies to the executive branch's interpretation. It is not relevant to a world of private contracts. Okay, what the judge just said is, it's a private organization. I'm not going to interfere. He even said they have their own bylaws at the sorority. I am required, therefore, to leave Kappa Kappa alone. So the girls lost their suit. Now they have a right to appeal. Every state has a right to appeal. I'm sorry, not the state. This is federal. But they have a right to appeal within a certain amount of time. And the appeal process, the clock is ticking right now. We'll see if they do.
Just like the Scottish axe girl incident of girls crying for help from their government for protection from dudes that are, in this case, like you said, it was pretty blatant. Like the dude was just pretending to be a girl to be a creep and creep on the girls. And yet they cry to their government for help. And yet we got weak men who are more interested in virtue signaling than actually doing anything.
You know, and I said on my morning drive this morning that this is such a first world problem.
Yes.
The third world does not think of these things. The third world is not out there looking for transgender rights and looking for the opportunity to have, you know, men live in the girls' houses. They don't. They're looking for the next meal. Because, you know, when it's a third world, you don't get into all of the fat, lazy issues that first world people create for themselves.
And I bet you if that judge had a daughter that came to him and told him that some guy was trying to creep on her in the sorority house, I bet he would have a little bit of a different, listen, honey, I don't even know what a definition of woman means. So, you know, that he would have a much different approach. I guarantee it.
If you look at pictures of this guy, too, by the way, the article has pictures of him just grinning, being, you know, he's in all the pictures, you know, at the sorority house, not even trying to look like a girl. He's just a dude hanging out in the sorority house claiming to be transgender.
Remind me what school this was again?
University of Wyoming.
Oh, wow. That's actually kind of surprising.
Yeah.
Wyoming's pretty conservative.
And then I got this story from the Daily Caller. So my forays back and forth to CNN, which I've been thoroughly enjoying, to be honest with you, My forays back and forth to CNN have been on the Abby Phillips show, which is at 9 p.m. Central. Well, they just had an explosion on that show just the other night. CNN Newsnight host Abby Phillips' characterization of the situation was interesting. She had somebody on named Arthur Idala. Some of you all have seen him before. He's a criminal defense attorney. He's very outspoken. And they had a former MSNBC host named Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross told Arthur Idala, you ready for this? Said, I think the reason why you might feel whatever he's talking about, Arthur, is because you maneuver in society with a certain privilege. Here we go. So the question is, and then and all of a sudden Idala went, hold on, what privilege? When I get on the subway, just tell me what privilege. When I'm dressed like this on the subway, I'm a target. That's not a privilege. I'm a target. There's a guy who probably has a wallet and a watch. You're a target. And she says, Arthur, I want to be open with you. I want you to have a little bit of intellectual curiosity and be open. Let me finish my point. And he said, okay, I'm real curious. And then she went on to basically talk about white privilege. Woke wars. Now, my understanding is Idala wore her out. But the truth of the matter is that is such a load. A major load. We're looking at crime, and they want to make it about white privilege. We're looking at people being mugged in the subways in New York City, and her claim was, "Well, if you're white, you're not going to have a problem." Do they know how many white people got mugged, or pushed in front of a train, or had to step over homeless people that were panhandling? Unbelievable.
Tell that to Big Balls.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you very much. In the woke wars, because that's where I am right now, in the woke wars, I will tell you this. President Donald Trump just got an award from the U.S. Marshals Office. You know why? Because law enforcement is loving what they're seeing right now. In fact, they even said this in this award, in the speech, they said, thank you for your policies and your efforts to uncuff law enforcement officers all over the nation. And he said, you're making a difference. You're letting good cops be good cops. And that's amazing that law enforcement is giving an award. Think about this. I understand their level of appreciation. I get that. But they're actually giving an award to someone for allowing them to do what they signed up to do. That's what that is. Thank you for taking the handcuffs off. Thank you for allowing us to actually be law enforcement officers. But in the woke wars right now, you're watching crime plummet in Washington, D.C., and people are paying attention. And you're watching people on the street saying, we want some of that in Chicago. Thank you for preserving our property in Los Angeles. Oh, by the way, can you get the Tren de Aragua guys out of our apartment complex in Aurora, Colorado? I mean, they're the people who are not inside the MSNBC type bubble, they're loving this. Law enforcement is loving this. And the woke wars, it's making a difference. Two more pieces, and I'll end with this dipper. Two more pieces. It is maddening to me. In the woke wars, we are fighting back right now over states that do ridiculous stuff like Washington, New Mexico, and California do, where they give commercial driver's licenses. Come on! Commercial driver's licenses to people who can't even speak English. Just the other day, we had three Floridians were killed when an illegal immigrant who doesn't even speak English, named Harjinder Singh, got a CDL from California and Washington State and then tried to make an illegal U-turn in the middle of the interstate, and three people died as a result of it. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy has said that they are about to force states like Washington, New Mexico, and California to comply with federal law on language requirements, or they're going to be facing some major loss of revenue through the grants that the DOT brings. So you want to pave some roads? California, hey, you want some infrastructure for your airstrips? You want your rural airports to get the next grant? You want some of that stuff that happens when you put in, transponders and those kind of things that cost so much money? Yeah, guess what? You're not getting any DOT money until you start straightening up on the issue of commercial driver's licenses. There's the rule. And then last one I got for woke wars, because y'all, we are trading some blows. You remember the judge up in Milwaukee who tried to usher the illegal alien out of her courtroom through the back door so they wouldn't get caught by ICE?
Hannah Dugan?
That's her. Hannah Dugan. Well, a federal judge who had actually been appointed by Obama denied her motion to dismiss, rejected it outright, if you will, and basically told her, no, you're in this case. And that's a win in the woke war. So out of all the ones that I've got in my stack, most of those were actually wins. The woke wars are ongoing, my friends. They are. The woke wars are absolutely ongoing. Do not think for a second that we're not getting stuff done, because my gosh, it's a daily. It's a daily. All right, that's Woke Wars. We're taking a break right now. We'll come right back. I got a bunch of text messages. You got something to say, text it in, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just making common sense like a superpower. Pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what we're doing. Got a bunch of text messages in here I'm going to be getting to momentarily, but let me just tell you guys. So my friends at 1819 News have got it going on. They have they've come up with something that I think is very, very cool. You're going to want to think about this. So listen, they've got an event coming up on November 14th. It's their annual big fundraising dinner. Keep in mind that 1819 News is an actual 501c3. They're a nonprofit organization. And so they raise money every year. They have a big dinner. It's called the Albert Patterson Gala. And this year, the keynote speaker is none other than Tucker Carlson, which is very cool. So yeah, Tucker Carlson, keynote speaker that night. But one of the things they got going on in conjunction with it is they are giving away an opportunity to win a $20,000 stay at Mar-a-Lago. That's cool. Now, it's $500 to enter. $500 to enter, but you have the chance to win a $20,000 package that would include everything from, you know, to several days and overnight stays and candlelight dinners and spa treatments and all the amenities that come with Mar-a-Lago. Y'all, this is way cool. You need to check it out. If you want to go get more details, or if you want to go ahead and just get your chance in the hopper, all you got to do is go to 1819news.com/raffle. That's 1819news.com/raffle to get your chance to win a $20,000 stay at Mar-a-Lago. Now listen, that's just cool. And all proceeds go to help 1819 News continue to be the harbinger of truth in our state. All right, let me get some text messages and get caught up on some of them. Let's see what we got here. Steve from Huntsville says, Colonel, look up where the government in England banned the Union Jack flag. Now, by the way, it wasn't the Union Jack. It was the St. Andrew's cross, right?
I believe.
Union Jack is the flag of the nation, surely to goodness. But what was that about? I saw there was something about someone trying to fly it, and they told him to take it down, but I don't know the details on it.
I don't know the details either, other than I'm seeing a bunch of people talk about it. So I don't know what initial incident caused it, but yes, I've been seeing that. It's just a mess. Like, if you think America is bad with the migrant problem, luckily Trump's gotten that under control. But even during Biden, I would look over across the sea and look at England and like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Like, it's, whew.
And Australia.
Yes.
And Canada. The whole Commonwealth is going to just Hades in a handbasket.
But they're trying to do that here in America.
And they are.
Yeah, well, let's just say of the two, America won the war against England. So maybe it's harder to do that over here than it is over there. I'll say that.
You know what the difference is? We have actual rights.
Yes, sure.
That's one of the things is we have actual rights. They struggle to get around that whole pesky Constitution.
Exactly.
With its Bill of Rights.
And the Second Amendment.
Yes, indeed. Stephen from Athens says, upon reflection about the Cracker Barrel situation, I now believe it was all a publicity stunt. As Trump said, they got $1 billion worth of free publicity, so we'll see. That is an interesting thought. I thought about that myself. What if it was a scam? But I don't think it was.
No, if you look at the people involved, it definitely was not a scam. Okay.
If you take it as totality, no.
Yeah.
Paul from Huntsville says, you need a machete in Australia to protect yourself from the wild. Oh, we got that already. Then he says, President Trump should go put on a Cracker Barrel apron and wait tables like he did at McDonald's drive-thru. That would be hilarious. What if they let him? They probably have a duck. Their corporate culture is not real strong on the conservative side of things, if you know what I mean.
Which is funny because it's Cracker Barrel.
It's Cracker Barrel. Kenneth from Somerville says, had already quit Cracker Barrel years ago when they started using powdered eggs, not quality food anymore. They use powdered. Stop it. Stop saying these things right now. It's one thing to say they're going to change the logo and go woke, but don't you talk about them using fake eggs. That can't be true. I don't want to know it. Kenny from Elkmont says, until Cracker Barrel abandons their DEI and LGBTQ activism, fixes the decline of their food quality, and retrains the serving staff, I will not give them a thin dime. That's fair. Listen, that's the thing. You got to build the better mousetrap. You got to be the better business. You got to be the place that people want to go. There's, give them a reason to show up. But yeah. So Kenny, I get it. We actually haven't been much lately because we felt like we were getting kind of the same. Like there's always empty tables and yet you can't get seated. And then your food comes in smaller portions than it used to. And, you know, just anyway.
I think the last time I tried to go to Cracker Barrel, I tried to go to the one off the parkway in Huntsville, right across the street from the south the mall. And it was closed temporarily because they didn't have enough people. Like, they were closed until they could hire some more people to work there.
Was that a post-COVID thing where they're trying to get people back to work?
It was like in 2022, 2023. Yeah. So, like, wow. I guess post-COVID, but like, yeah, I mean, Cracker Barrel has been struggling with that.
It's kind of hard to work from home and wait tables.
Yeah, I guess so. That would be kind of hard. Wait tables through Zoom.
Jeez. Joe in Tennessee says, Scottish descendant here, the law in the woke British world needs to be tapped with a shillelagh. Okay. He said, may the girls beat back the Pakistanis. Trendale, Agua, MS-13, and other human scum. Get right with the right. All right, Joe. Appreciate you, man. Don't beat around the bush. Tell us how you feel. And then Jeff from Indiana says, what's he saying
read
to me?
Read the text before it.
Oh, the text before it. I'm sorry. He says, Phil, I always thought CDL licenses were basically uniform under federal law because we all have to take the same test and drive under the same federal law, like, you know, certain things like a DUI. Since I hold a CDL, I can only blow over an 03. It's a DUI no matter what vehicle I'm in. Okay. And then he says, the legal alcohol limit. Why are we talking about legal alcohol limits? I guess what he's trying to say is there's a federal law that's uniform across the board, but not all of them. Is that what he's saying? I guess so.
Also, too, I don't know if you saw, but the Singh guy, if you look at his test with the CDL, he couldn't tell what, like, several traffic signs were. Like, he did not do well on the CDL, and I don't know how he passed it to begin with.
Come on.
But then, yeah, on top of that, he could barely speak English, wasn't even here legally. It's like, what in the world?
Yeah. Lisa from Tanner says, Bucky's uses powdered eggs, too. Stop it. Stop it right now. Don't you talk about our Bucky's. I mean, we almost lost Cracker Barrel. We can't lose Bucky's, too. That's just not good. All right, coming up next, we're going to have the Grand Council. So the Grand Council every single week with my brethren Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson, where we jump on the phone together. We ping each other with questions and just see where the chips fall. It always flies by, but I enjoy it thoroughly every single time. They've been doing it longer than I have. We just jump on in and hang on. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, it's that time of the week. You know it is. Wednesday's hump day. We hear the camel at the beginning of the show. That means somewhere around the beginning of hour number three, we jump on into a thing we call the Grand Council, where I bring in two of my brethren and talk radio. So let me just call a quorum and see what we got here on the roll call. So turning my attention northward first from 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Cumulus Broadcasting out of Huntsville, host of the Dale Jackson Show. Also does a gig with Yellowhammer News and has a TV gig as well. That would be Dale Jackson. Are you there? You are. Stand at ease. All right. And then turning southward to the far end down there on the Gulf of America, FM Talk 106.5, host of the Jeff Poor Show. Oh, by the way, editor-in-chief of 1819 News. And yeah, also does stuff with Land Yap, Breitbart, and whatever else. Jeff Poor, are you there?
I am present. Correction. I have been let go from Land Yap.
Well, you know what? Their loss. But I pronounce a quorum. All said and done. Hit it, man.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-ba-da. All right, we're on. Jeff, since you're apparently licking your wounds with Land Yap, go ahead and you take the first question, man. What you got?
Biggest takeaway from last night's municipal elections. Probably more of a, I know there's a lot of statewide implications, but you guys have a North Alabama perspective. What do you think?
Dale, you go first.
Well, I think you got a lot of new mayors around the state, and you can run through there, and you know a lot of them are those Big Ten mayoral cartel they have. You got Madison, Decatur really, I think, is one of the more important ones. I know it's kind of maybe a smaller story, but they had a chance to go with one of the city council members who had been causing all of the problems at the city council, Billy Jackson. He was a bit of the issue with this whole Steve Perkins thing. He just got absolutely trounced. So he's done off the city council altogether, which is good for the city. And I think it sends a message that the city did not like the way it was being handled in all those protests, which have kind of mired the city's reputation. That's the biggest one in North Alabama, I think. Status quo in Madison, probably, and in Athens. I think that's the biggest story.
Yeah, and then North Central Alabama, too, you got, of course, Woodfin ran away with the race, which I thought it would be closer than it was, I'll be honest with you. And granted, that's an all-blue race. Pretty much all blue. But that was one where, at the very least, I thought Wandling Gavan had made enough noise to not be in third place. I thought that was a little interesting. But I look at the Woodfin record, which has not been great. The city is struggling. The city has gone down in its census since he took office. The city has got crime rate through the roof. They're even talking about intervening from Montgomery to square away the crime issues. And yet he got 72% of the vote, if I'm not mistaken. And I find that to be just another example of stupid is as stupid does. And if you keep voting these people in, you're going to keep getting more of the same. So that was a huge one in the Big Ten. Your thoughts, Jeff, what do you got?
I would put, I think, a lot of Birmingham races. Obviously, Mobile had a slight surprise last night with Spiro Terragotas doing as well as he did. And then Barbara Drummond, everybody thought would be a lock. And the question was, would she get 50%, you know, or would she get close to 50% and make it hard for the sort of the Republican or white candidate in Mobile to compete, but she only got like 34%.
Yeah.
She really, really struggled. So, but I think this Hoover story is pretty big with Frank Brocato losing. I agree about Birmingham. And there's some council races. Mountainbrook's very interesting. That swung once people started figuring out who one of the candidates, David Silverstein, kind of a big Democrat financier, in a lot of the statewide politics. He lost last night, but on the other hand, Homewood went blue, pretty blue last night. So I think those are some takeaways there. There's some other ones around the state, but dealing with some of these places with the libraries, it turned out that wasn't a big issue in any. Really anywhere last night.
Well, let me ask you this, Jeff. You kind of intoned in your question, what did these elections tell you about things to come? Do you think these portend something? Like, is there more blue coming? Is there more red coming? What are you seeing?
Alabama's a very tribal place. And I'll tell you something else, Senator, what I was looking for was turnout.
Yeah.
Turnout varied wildly from municipality to municipality. There was no consistent theme. Some places, some, you know, decent-sized cities, the turnout was in the hundreds and, you know, down around 9-8%. And then in some places, you're topping 30-35%, which is high for a municipal election. I was looking for that. But I guess the one theme, it just seemed that Dale pointed this out with Decatur, the reasonable case, the reasonable candidate tended to do a little bit better than a bomb thrower or somebody with some kind of radical viewpoint.
Cool. Well, I'll tell you what, while we're talking about cities in our state, let me talk about comments that Tommy Tuberville made. So Senator Tuberville, very likely not. I mean, unless something like drops out that we can't see, he's going to be our next governor. So Tommy Tuberville says he has no problem with the idea of bringing the National Guard to Montgomery or Birmingham to resolve crime issues if that's what it takes. And so he's talking about doing it as a governor, which I thought was interesting. Give me your thoughts on that one. Dale, you first.
Yeah, I think that would kind of be my question, too, so we can spend some time on this. With Tennessee and Alabama both, I mean, you have problems in big cities, Memphis, Birmingham, some say Nashville, I'm not sure I buy it, I think Montgomery's under control. But the fact is, why would you not want to use your National Guard to do this? It's showing it's working in D.C.
Yep.
Who cares what Woodfin says? Who cares what whoever the hell the mayor of Memphis says? Who cares? They failed. And Archibald just wrote a piece for Alon Comm talking about, you know, Birmingham swagger's back or something. It's like, what are you talking about, you loser? I mean, it just makes absolutely no sense, but they're trying to sell that. Send in the guard.
Jeff, I got some thoughts, but you go ahead first.
No, I don't know necessarily Birmingham or Montgomery. I think they're already working with the feds. They just don't want you to know it because it hurts them politically. The three places I would say you need to watch. Bessemer outskirts of, you know, Birmingham there. I think Pritchard down here, down my way. And I'd say the city of Selma.
Yeah.
Those places seem to be really deteriorating. They're, you know, the law enforcement presence just isn't there. But the Montgomery's, Birmingham, Mobile, Huntsville, I mean, they seem to be working with Aaliyah or the feds, when there's issues.
Here's the thing, and I think what he'd have to deal with is what Trump's got going for him right now in D.C. is he has an actual statute. He has the Home Rule Act that allows him to intervene and actually take over the police force and give them direction. Whereas I think in these Alabama cities, the governor calls up the guard. All you can do is hope for cooperation. Otherwise, you're just running alongside them as opposed to sort of lead, guiding, and directing. So it would be a bit dicier. But I still think that there are parts that you mentioned Birmingham, and I used to live in Mobile, so I'm totally familiar with Pritchard. But I think that Bessemer and Pritchard absolutely need to be looked at, and it would be interesting to see if they get that kind of cooperation. Third question, first round, 2 minutes. What do you got, Dale?
Well, you kind of stole my question, but I'm gonna go back to John Archibald. Then he's saying Birmingham can get back their swagger and get their law and order under control, start attracting businesses and stuff again. But they're losing population.
Yeah, they are.
That's the truth. And they've got big, serious problems. Can they get their swagger back?
Well, it depends on what the swagger is. I mean, right now you got a pro football team, sort of, that's looking at leaving, although they made it. Now they say they're staying. You got the population base that is fleeing. They've gone from being the largest city in the state to now they're maybe third, almost fourth, all within one 10-year span. And the business community is suffering. Until you can do something to reduce crime and enhance the ability for people to actually live with quality inside the city limits, they're not going to have their swagger back. They're just not. Jeff Rowe?
No, Birmingham's a dead town. I mean, you'll have a central business district, but the infrastructure's old. There's nicer places to live in the Birmingham area. If you have to have a job in Birmingham, why would you live in Birmingham unless you're, Shaun of the South or whatever, who was at Avondale. But, you know, you live in, there's all these nice places, Mountain Brook, Homewood, Vestavia Hills, Hoover, Shelby County, et cetera, and they can't compete with that. Why would we invest so many resources into trying to get Birmingham its quote-unquote swagger back?
Your own question, Dale, 30 seconds, what do you got?
No, I don't think they can. Jeff laid out almost every single one of the reasons, and they don't seem to be going in the right direction. Rewarding Woodfin just says, okay, do what you keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, that's where we are. The magic city, the tragic city. All right, we're taking a break right now. There's round one. That's it. The Grand Council, that flew by. Round one, Grand Council. Round two coming up. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Pulling pins on truth grenades. All right, we're back for round two of the Grand Council with Jeff Poore, Dale Jackson, and just little old me. So let me go down to Mobile there. Jeff Poore, next question. What you got?
Another tragedy today with the school shooting up in Minnesota. Tell me this. Will we ever see the left is already kind of talking about assault weapons ban or whatever that means. But if they really mean what they say, why do these guys just never just say, well, why don't we repeal the Second Amendment?
Because they know they can't get there. They try to create these little artistic carve-outs and pretend that's not a violation of the Second Amendment. But you know what's really amazing is Minneapolis has some of the most draconian gun control laws. They have red flag laws. They have assault weapons bans. They have extended background checks. They have any number of things that are designed to prevent exactly what happened today. And guess what? It didn't do a thing to prevent it. You had a sick individual who, if there was anyone ever going to qualify for a red flag law, it would have been him. And he still shot up a church full of kids. It's an amazing story. Dale?
Yeah, they're never going to admit what they want to do, because if they tell the truth, nobody will support them.
That's right.
So they can't do it. I mean, the real problem here is that needs to be addressed is how much did affirming these people for years, over the last 10 years, set our country back on mental illness and stuff like this? The only mental illness that we have where we say, hey, how can we make it to where these people can live with this? But we've decided we're going to do that for some reason. And now look at the problems it creates. And I guess we're just going to deal with this from now on. And that's just how it is, because these people are out of their damn minds and we're treating them like they're normal, and they're not.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is there is no other mental illness in the world where you're required to join them in the mental illness as part of their so-called affirming healing than this, transgenderism. Everything else is required to help them get out of it. In this case, they daggum well want you to jump on in it with them. It makes no sense. The whole thing is a psychosis. Jeff, your own question. What's your thoughts?
Well, the measures, it's always looking for a solution, and we talked about the mental illness aspects of it, and I don't know what the answer is there either, but it's always something to do with taking guns. Republicans just need to, I mean, we're never going to do what they want to do because we have a Second Amendment in this country. There's legal precedent. It goes to court. Their silly ideas get knocked down because of the Second Amendment every time. And I think it's something that Republicans just need to call them out on.
Call them out on and then hold the line on and just don't let them get away with it. All right, I tell you what, I got the next question. This one is a total aside. So in the Senate, I mean, among others, we got Marsha Blackburn and Tommy Tuberville, very conservative, both running for state offices now, leaving the Senate. In the House, we got Barry Moore, Chip Roy, Byron Donalds, Ralph Norman, all from the Freedom Caucus. Are we watching a conservative drain? Are the conservatives leaving D.C., and what does that mean for us? Jeff, you first.
I'm okay with this. I mean, I get it. You're right about a conservative drain, but there's always, it feels like that they're pretty good in the House Freedom Caucus of restaffing or restocking or reloading even. There's always going to be somebody. Some of these guys are probably better suited for state government, and then in the long run, that will be a net benefit to the country. You're right. I mean, I think, Jim Jordan, guys like that, the House Freedom Caucus types need to be very, very cautious here, be very aware, and recruit very good candidates.
Yeah, they're going to have to. I mean, like Barry Moore, of course, we know personally, but Chip Roy, I mean, he's going to be hell on wheels as an AG if he gets elected, but he's going to be a loss for the ability he takes to stand on things up in D.C. Dale, what are your thoughts? Go ahead.
Real quick, I was going to say, but think about it, Senator. Having him as AG in Texas is probably a net benefit than him in the House as sort of a mid to back bencher.
It may sure enough be. Dale, your own thoughts on this?
Well, I think you guys are right. I mean, they're going to refill with people who are generally of the same mindset. They're coming from the same districts, obviously. And hopefully that's where that goes. But yeah, you guys are right. They need to go, maybe going back to their districts is good. It'll be interesting to see who steps in and fills in for guys like Tuberville. Obviously, Marsha Blackburn gets to pick her own person, so she'll pick someone who's probably like-minded as well.
Last question, Dale. 2 minutes. What do you got?
I got two questions. One is strictly for you, Senator Williams. Let me ask you: Can you do the RFK Pete Hegseth challenge? Could you get that done? Could you do 50 pull-ups, 100 push-ups?
Push-ups, no problem. I haven't done a pull-up, and I can't tell you when, so give me time to practice, and I'll find out.
The sheriff of Madison County said the exact same thing. Hadn't done a pull-up in forever. That's the exact same. He said the other question is similar, but not really. Arnold Schwarzenegger says he's going to fight Pete Hegseth on this redistricting stuff. Does he have the stroke to do that? Is he still relevant?
Wait, Pete Hegseth? You mean you talk about he's going to fight
Gavin Newsom?
Thank you.
Sorry,
I was going to say, I'm not sure. Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting. You got the governator going against the Gavinator, and I think that's funny. I think it would also be truly the alpha male versus the beta male. So if anybody can make hay out of this, it's going to be a former governor of California reminding people what's really good. And he's also a Republican, even though he's not always a super conservative. Jeff?
He's a has-been. I'm a little offended I didn't get asked about the pull-ups and the push-ups.
I already know the answer.
You didn't even offer your own assessment, physical fitness here either. But I'm
more than happy to do this with you two if you'd like. Let's give it a shot.
I just want to know, no. Dale, are you going to get in the ring with Raja Jackson anytime soon?
No, I am not going to be doing that. No, that's an insane story. I cannot believe that's happened the way it is. I can't believe he's not in jail.
Yeah, hopefully that's coming. But anyway. All right, fellas. Wow, that was it. Great job. Appreciate you, and I love the fact that we got video now. So Jeff Poore, Dale Jackson, thank you very much. Grand Council every Wednesday at top of hour number 3. That's some fascinating stuff. And now I got to try pull-ups. I got to go back and do pull-ups. It's been a while. I used to crank them out, but dang, dude, I'm old. Why is he challenging the old guy?
Hey, pull-ups are hard for me, too. I mean, it's just hard in general.
Well, there you have it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Making common sense like a superpower. Bulletproof influence. That's what it is. Thank you to all of you who chimed in when we asked you to, please, to let us know that we were back on the air. I see Dustin, Joe, Dave, Champ, Ben, TL, David, Jeff, and James all letting us know that we were back on the air. Thank you very much. Quick text, James from Arab says, I guess this is talking about the shooter up in Minneapolis. Says, why do parents sign off on their kids' destructive delusions? Girls wanted to look like boys. Boys want to join the girls' dance team in the band. My goodness. He said, you're the captain of their ship. If you love your kids, sometimes you got to tell them no. Take steps to correct them back into reality before they completely destroy themselves and destroy innocent others. Listen, you're exactly right, James. And part of my eclectic resume is I spent 10 years working professionally with kids in adolescent treatment center, in counseling, and in ministry. And I'm just tell you that sometimes the kids definitely had their own issues that were self-generated. But other times it was just if we could shake some sense into the parents, the kids would be so much better off. Saw it all the time. And it's true. John from Huntsville gave the grades already. Says Dale and Jeff get a solid A for their equally fantastic performance. Phil gets an A+ for his excellent performance, which means today's winner is obviously the magnificent JP with an A++. And I hope you join my pick 'em group.
If I got to create a Yahoo account, then I guess I will. But there was a way around that. But
jump on in where you can and hang on, dude. I also had one more. Where'd it go? Was it Jeff from Athens? Yeah, Jeff from Athens says, should President Trump declare trans shooters a terrorist group? I don't think they band together as a terrorist organization, but I think there's definitely a mental illness that needs to be addressed. There's that. Let me go to the phones right now. Jeff Rowe from Indiana. Hey, buddy, how are you?
I'm doing real well. I'm already past Bowling Green, heading north.
Stop it. Are you real? No, don't stop it. Keep going. But wow.
I'm going.
you made good time today, dude.
Oh, yeah.
So what is the...
what you can do when you keep it going.
On a good day, what is the one-way trip size? How much is one way of your trip take?
Well, one way of my trip is at least 5.
At least 5 hours?
Or just... Yeah, everybody gets off their street and lets me on through.
Wow, that's a ton of driving every single day.
This truck will run 68 miles an hour top end, and it's 300 miles one way.
Wow.
Do the math.
Well, yeah, that was algebra you just asked me to do, and that was never my forte. If a train leaves New York on Sunday.
And that's not counting the hills. I got to pull about 30 mile an hour.
Wow. Well, when you're deadheading, do you go better than when you're loaded up?
Oh yeah, but I'm loaded both ways.
Oh, are you? Okay, wow. All right, yeah. Well, listen, that's enough of that. Tell me what your thoughts are about the things we talked about today.
On this transgender shooter why does liberalism attract mentally ill people? I think it's because, there a lot of them are mentally ill to start with.
I would say that's probably true.
If you'll notice, when Joe Biden, when Trump got elected, you see so many memes of people screaming and just losing their mind and going crazy, whenever Biden got elected, we didn't see none of that. I'd like to see somebody that was a conservative on the ground screaming at the sky, and I just didn't see that anywhere.
No, you're right. And what's interesting here, you bring up a point, is that most of the liberal progressive side of things involves so-called finding your own truth and not accepting norms. And when you get in, and I realize there's times when you push limits in life, I get it. But when you have no absolutes, that means everything is gray. And it's a whole lot harder to deal with life when everything's gray and you have nothing to stand on. It leaves you just basically floating in the winds, and things happen and they just happen and you just deal with it. But when you have absolutes, when you have left and right limits on your life, you know, that yes and that no is a whole lot easier to deal with than a maybe. And so I really think that a big part of liberal progressive troubles is because they have nothing to stand on. It's all gray. It's just follow your own truth. And that's why.
I mean, if you take what this person had written on the guns and everything, you know, yeah, it's all hatred. You know, he hated the Jews, he hated Christianity, he hated Trump.
Yeah,
and he just so hated these people that he had to go out and shoot innocent children as part of his rage, apparently.
Yeah,
I think the left is an evil thing. And they don't really realize it. They think they're doing the good for the world, I think, but it's truly evil what they preach.
It absolutely is, and that's why when you have the absence of truth, the only thing you can have left there is a lie. And so when I've said on the show multiple times, one of my favorite quotes is Margaret Thatcher. She used to say that the truth usually is the same old story, which means, you know, that's right. Truth doesn't change. Truth is truth. And when you remove truth from the equation, all you've got left is lies. And ambiguities, and that destroys people's sense of well-being and confidence. And that's, I'm not saying that like I'm sorry for them. That's a self-inflicted wound. But the fact is, that's why the left is so unstable.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, I don't get it. Like, you know, how they got all the black vote and everything when they're good at manipulating people, I guess, because if you ask someone who isn't in the know and hasn't been taught that, they would say, oh, the Republicans were the Ku Klux Klan and Lincoln was you know, a slave owner.
It's just the opposite.
It's amazing. It's amazing that they don't have a clue of history.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Again, they have no absolutes whatsoever to include history. All right, listen, man. I'm about to hit the milestone here. We gotta take it for the day. You be safe on the road. Glad you made good time. We'll have you on again tomorrow, buddy.
All right, buddy. You all have a good one.
All right, man. You too. You too. Absolutely. I will just tell you again. And in fact, I see Cliff from Athens has texted in. I'll let him say it. He says no absolutes equals relativism. That's right. If everything's relative, nothing's certain. And it leaves you any number of problems. Shag Nasty the Atheist checks in, says, liberal here. Haven't decided if conservatism is rooted in evil or stupidity, but probably both. Well, Shag, last I checked, conservatism is usually grounded in what I would call truth and principle and absolute. Y'all are the ones that keep saying, go follow your own truth, which means there is no truth. And then Dave from Capshaw says, Jeff asked why liberalism attracts crazies, because that's why they're called Democrats. Well, okay, there's that. Listen, man, I'm telling you right now, I will be praying for the people of Minneapolis. I pray that you will too. It is absolutely imperative, and I do believe that prayer works. I believe that it does, and I think it also means something. And like I said, you may not be able to be up there physically doing something, but you can do that. So give them all the prayers you can send. Right now, I'll just go ahead and say, hey, by the way, there's more of us than there are of them. Oh, by the way, yes, God is still on his throne. And yeah, y'all stay in the fight. We'll see you tomorrow.